إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our seventh session from the book that is known, yani popularly known today as Al-Wasiyya Al-Sughra, the concise legacy or advice for uprightness of the religious and worldly life. My Taqiyuddin Abu al-Abbas, Ahmed ibn Abdul Halim ibn Abdul Salam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to complete the point that we were reading from last week. There was a small portion remaining. So we'd like to complete that tonight and then go to the next point in the book. Before we do that, we want to review quickly some of the points, some of the important points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide number 6. First question being, what has the author listed, rahimahullah, as the third, the third thing which removes consequences of sins? Also mention the first two. Naam, Ibrahim. Al-amal al-saliha al-mukaffira. Naam, meaning?
The righteous actions that expiate misdeeds.
Naam, the righteous actions which expiate sins or acts of disobedience. Naam. And the first two, somebody else? Yeah, Musa?
We have
tawbah. At-tawbah.
And istighfar.
Naam. Somebody want to add to that something? Naam.
At-tawbah
al-nasuh.
والاستغفار من غير توبة
وإن لم يتوب. So these are three matters that we have spent some time with of great importance. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions these three things in reference to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبعي السيئات الحسنة. This point, follow up an evil deed with a good deed, is based on this point that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions, not only doing good deeds that expiate sins, but he also mentioned along with the other things in this world that a person has control over to expiate their sins, and that is, first and foremost, tawbah, and secondly, istighfar, seeking forgiveness, even if the person didn't repent, and thirdly, the third point that we mentioned last week was, the righteous deeds, the good deeds, which remove the consequences of sins. And these are very, very important matters. I hope that we take time and think about them and work out in our lives how we will apply them. Indeed, we are in need. The second question, explain what is meant by kaffarat with mention of its two divisions. What is meant by kaffarat? Naam, Musa.
Is that which expiates sins?
That which expiates sins?
Or mistakes? Faults?
Faults, shortcomings, errors? Naam, that which expiates, removes the consequence of the errors and sins and mistakes and shortcomings that we have fallen into. Naam, and its two divisions of kafarat. Naam, Abu Jamil? المقدرة and المطلق المطلقة نعم الكفارة المقدرة and الكفارة المطلقة نعم طيب نعم yeah, mention just briefly what do we mean by
we said there are two groups, were general general and specific?
Naam.
That expiates sins or faults?
General and specific, or specific and general. He mentioned the specific first and then the general. Naam.
As far as specific the things, for example, if someone was to make a mistake in Hajj,
If somebody makes a mistake in Hajj, they engage in something that's prohibited, or they fail to do something that's obligatory, then there's a specific kafara for that. Specific. That's what we mean by muqaddara. It's specified in the Sharia. Yani every those things that are specific are things that are mentioned in the Sharia. Certain mistake, it has a specific kafara for it. Yani meaning what you have to do is specific, and the amount of it also is specified in the Sharia. يعني تقديرها جاء في الشريعة يعني مقدرة meaning the يعني the amount, the specification of it came in the شريعة. نعم. And مطلقة, the general we mean by that, نعم.
That which can be expiated through fasting, prayer.
That which can be expiated يعني generally by doing good deeds, whether it's prayer, charity, fasting, يعني as in the hadith of
Hudhayfa.
يعني he said that the fit يعني the what Fitnatul Rajul in his family, in his wealth, in his children or his neighbors and so on, that it's expiated by salah in general, by making salah, by siyam, by sadaqah, by enjoying the good, forbidden the wrong, like this. And this includes yani all of the good deeds. Now, question number 3, mention the 4 types or ajnas of kafarat which are legislated as muqaddara. Yani what are the 4 specific types of kafara that have been legislated in the Sharia? Naam, ya Mustafa.
Slaughtering.
Naam, sacrificing.
Freeing of slaves.
Aqayat, freeing of a slave.
Charity.
And fasting. These are specific kafarat that the Sharia has mentioned specifically for those things that have specific kafara expiation. Naam. These are specified. Type and amount specified. Number 4, discuss the hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu related to the kafarat which are mutlaqa. Yani what can we say about this hadith of Hudhayfa that we referred to just a moment ago? What can we say about it? What understanding do we have from this hadith? Now,
it's showing how righteous actions in general can expiate bad deeds.
Now, how righteous actions in general, aside from those things that are specified, that have a specific kafara, that you have to do this particular thing, righteous deeds in general expiate for sins in general. Now, JazakAllah khair. I hope this is better. Oops. Or maybe I can talk a little louder. Now, after this, this hadith of Hudhayfa. So, what else can we say about this hadith? Yani in terms of its meaning, now that righteous deeds in general expiate sins, and also. Yani that the hadith of Hudhayfa gives examples of the kind of things that expiate sins, whether they're actions or speech or from your wealth, whatever it is. Yani there are different types of things, and these are only examples. Rather, every good deed that's done sincerely for the sake of Allah is an expiation of sins in general, and therefore a person should be yani conscious and aware and diligent in trying to constantly and continuously always be doing good deeds in order to expiate for the constant sins that we engage in. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that every human being is committing sins by day and by night, and there's no one who forgives sins except Allah. Now, after this, memorize one of the hadith which shows the excellence and great reward of da'wah and teaching al-khayr. Now, what about on this side? Zirdi. Now. الدالو على الخير
على
الخير
كفاعله.
What is the meaning of this? Somebody else. What did he just say? What is the meaning of it? Naam, Adam.
Whoever informs somebody of some good, then he's if the person does it.
Naam, the one who informs of good, who directs people to good, he's like the one who does it. Yani in reward, they're like the one who does it. Does anybody remember the other narration of this hadith? Naam.
Is it Abu Hurairah?
Naam.
قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من دعا إلى الهدى كان له من الأجر مثل أجور من يتبعه لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا ومن دعا إلى الضلالة كان عليه من الإثم مثل آثام من يتبعه لا ينقص من ذلك شيئا.
نعم. طيب this hadith is not another narration, this is a different hadith. Yani where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever man da'a ila huda, whoever calls to, invites to guidance, right, guidance, then that person will have the reward like the one who follows him in that which he's calling to, without the reward being diminished in any way. That's how the Shaykh mentioned it, and he also took the second part of the hadith that's not mentioned in the book, and whoever calls to misguidance, then they will carry the sin, like the sin of the one who follows him in that misguidance that he's calling to, without their sin being diminished at all. طيب. Question number 6. Memorize. Allahumma star. Memorize one of the hadith which proves that the salawat al-khams, yani the 5 prayers or fasting in Ramadan or Hajj, yani that each of these things are expiators. Yani are all, they all expiate sins. Even in English, if you didn't memorize it in Arabic. Memorize it in Arabic?
Yeah.
Fadl.
Salawat al-khams, al-jum'ah ila jum'ah, ramadan ila ramadan, mukaffiratun lima baynahunna, majtunibat
al-kabair. Naam. Yani meaning, somebody else? What is the meaning of this hadith that he mentioned? You have a question? You want to say the meaning of it? Naam. The 5 prayers, 5 daily prayers, and what else? And one Jummah to the other Jummah, and from one Ramadan to the other Ramadan, mukaffiratun, are expiators, yani for whatever is in between them, as long as you avoid the kabair. Naam. Other hadith. Naam, Abu Jamil.
من حج ولم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع من ذنوبه كمن ولدت أمه
كيوم. Oh, maybe there's different narrations. In the book is a mistake. كمن. It should be كما وكيوم ولدت أمه. In the book it's a mistake. It says كمن. The narrations came كما and came كيوم. كيوم ولدت أمه. يعني that whoever performs Hajj without يعني falling into what? Rafath.
Or fisq.
يعني whoever forms Hajj without, يعني there are 2 interpretations that the scholars have given to this first word, and that is يعني evil, يعني immoral speech, and the other one is sexual relations. يعني performs Hajj without engaging in these things, and it includes both of them, no doubt, or without engaging in sin, any kind of sin or disobedience, then they will return just as they were on the day that their mother gave birth to them. Meaning, free of all sins. And we said that, there's a difference of opinion about this, but some of the scholars said that it means, and if Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said it means, all sins, major and minor sins. All sins, major and minor sins. And from those who agree with this opinion, was al-Imam al-Qurtubi, and al-Qadi Iyad, and al-Shaykh al-Albani, al-Imam al-Albani, al-Imam ibn Uthaymeen. Yani from the scholars of the past and present who agree that this hadith is a clear indication of major and minor sins being expiated by the Hajj that's performed correctly and accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means that really, yani subhanAllah, if Allah give the facility to a person to make Hajj, indeed this is a tremendous ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have to take it seriously. Question number 7. What is the author referring to when he says, from amongst the most important needs of a person is to give care to this? To give care to this. Al-inaya bihadha. What is he meaning by give care to this? Bihadha. Naam.
Al-umur al-thalath.
These 3 matters. Naam.
Tawbah.
Repentance. And seeking forgiveness.
Wa al-amilu saliha.
And righteous deeds. Naam. These 3 things. He means, yani al-inaya bihadha means that a person has to give from the most important needs, the greatest needs of a human being, is to give attention to this matter. That is, of those things that expiate for the sins that we have committed. Because indeed, we are going to return to Allah, we're going to be called to account. A person has a chance now to fix the record. That means these things are of the utmost importance. Question number 8. Mention the precious, priceless advice of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullah to a man who had wasted 60 years of his life. Naam, tafadhal.
Ahsan. Ma baqiya yaghfur laka fima baqiya yaghfur laka qad
mada. Yani meaning?
To do good in what remains of his life, meaning, and it would
and you will be forgiven?
Be forgiven for what has you done?
What have passed. Yani do good now, fima baqiya, and what remains of your life, at this point in your life, look back and see that you have erred, you have gone astray, you have engaged in, and you have transgressed all bounds. Ahsan fima baqiya. Do good, do well, yani ihsan. Worship Allah the way He deserves to be worshipped. Yani do good in terms of your relationship with Allah and your relationship with the people. In though, what days remain in your life? What years remain in your life? Do it well, yani practice ihsan. And then you will be forgiven whatever remains. I mean, whatever passed, yani whatever had passed, you will be forgiven, inshallah. You'll be forgiven. Naam, and we're going to talk about this tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Number 9, discuss the example in hadith of how closely Muslims will follow the Christians and Jews even into the hole of a lizard. Naam. Tayyib, Musa.
The hole of a lizard is different from other holes. That so twisted. Despite that, the Muslims are going to follow the Christians and the Jews in that, in whatever they do, we're going to do it. Like, example.
Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you will definitely follow, yani what? The ways of those who came before you, من كان قبلكم. Huh? Exactly, precisely, in every way, whatever it is that they do, and they said. Yani al-Yahud wal-Nasara, ya Rasulullah, do you mean the Christians and Jews? He said, who else? The Shaykh, he said that the meaning of this, that you will follow them exactly even into the hole of a lizard, it means that the hole of the lizard, unlike other reptiles, is crooked. It's crooked. And if a person will follow the lizard into the hole of a lizard, follow someone into the hole of a lizard, it means that they have to do a lot of crookedness, deviation, corruption. And he said that you will find that no matter how corrupt and off course these people go away from nature, you will find some from amongst the Muslims who will follow them, who will imitate them in it. To every extreme. Wallahu musta'an.
And we see it today.
And we see it today. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to. The end of that topic is what we're going to begin with tonight before we go into the next paragraph. And I say to myself first and to each of us, to take the matter seriously, very, very seriously. Yani look at ourselves and try to correct our situation. If you are following from the Arabic text of this book, the explanation of Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Musin al-Abad, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And we're going to be reading from the beginning of page 29. And if you have been following from the translation, the English translation, the first one, the small book, then we're going to be reading from page 12, second paragraph, and third and fourth paragraph. And if you're reading from Dar es Salaam's publication, it's the same translation, but in their publication they made a lot of footnotes. And where we're going to be reading from is the second paragraph, from page 41. Up to page 42. Yani just briefly a couple of paragraphs. But in the Dar es Salaam publication, the big one, it's on page 41. And in the smaller printing, yani it's on page 12. So, the reader for the Shaykh, he begins by praising Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and asking for salat and salam on the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he says, Shaykh al-Islam Ahmed ibn Abdul Halim ibn Abdul Salam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. Yani he says, Shaykh al-Islam says, وَإِذَا كَانَ الْأَمْرُ كَذَلِكَ فَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Yani he's saying, and if the matter is like that, وَإِنْ كَانَ وَإِذَا كَانَ الْأَمْرُ كَذَلِكَ. Yani like what? Like, yani what has been mentioned from last week, right? The last part that we were talking about, what? That the Prophet ﷺ informed us, warning us that we will follow the people who came before us, yani from Jahiliyyah, from Kufr, the Christians and Jews in particular, and others besides them. If it is like that, if that's the case, and it is, right? If it is so, if that is the case, فَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, then whoever Allah has opened his heart, yani opened his breast to be receptive to Islam, فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ, then indeed he is upon a light from his Rabb. Then such a person, who Allah has expanded his breast, he is upon a light from his Rabb. And he has guidance. He's not in darkness. وَكَانَ مَيِّتًا فَأَحْيَاهُ اللَّهُ, then he was dead and Allah gave him life. وَجَعَلَ لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ, and Allah made a light for him with which he can walk amongst the people. And they're in darkness and he is, this one is walking with a light, seeing their way. If the matter is like that, and Allah has expanded someone's breast to Islam, then they have a light from their Rabb. Yani they were dead and he gave them life, and he made for them a light to walk amongst the people. La budda an yulahidha ahwal jahiliyyah wa tariq al ummatain al maghdub alayhim wa dhalin min al yahud wa nasara fayara an qad ibtuliya bi ba'di dhalika. Yani in this case, if it is like that, and Allah has given a person light so they can go amongst the people, they can walk with guidance, la budda an yulahidha ahwal al jahiliyyah, then it is of a necessity that this person observe, take note of, examine carefully the ahwal jahiliyyah, the conditions, yani the effects and the influences of jahiliyyah, and the way of the two ummah, yani ummatain, those whom Allah's wrath is upon, al-maghdub alayhim, and those who are astray, al-dhalin, as mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha, and al-yahud wal-nasara. Fayara and qad ibtuliya, then that person, if they do that, if they have this light, and they look at the conditions and circumstances and influences of Jahiliyyah and the people, yani the Ahl Kitab, their influences upon us, if they examine with this light that those influences, فَيَرَى أَنْ قُدْ أُبْتُلِيَ بِبَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, he would, that person would then see that they have been tested and tried with some of that, yani that they have been touched, that they have been influenced by some aspects of Jahiliyyah, whether greater or lesser, they have been infected by it, by the people before us, the Christians or Jews and their lifestyle. فَأَنْفَعُ مَا لِلْقَاسَ وَالْعَامَ الْعِلْمِ بِمَا يُخَلِّسُ النُّفُوسِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْوَرَطَاتِ, so the most beneficial thing that is for the elite and the general common masses of the people, for everybody, no exception, is to have knowledge of that which rescues, saves a person, frees a person, frees the souls from these warataat, yani these pitfalls, these traps, these yani difficult predicaments. Person is in a jam, in a fix. They did something, they got in trouble, and how can they get out of it? They're trying to find a way out. Well, the way out is to have knowledge of that which rescues a person, relieves a person, frees a person from the jam, from the fix, from the predicament that they have fallen into due to the influence of the people of Jahiliyyah, the people became before us, whether Christians or Jews or other than them. وَهُوَ اتْبَاعُ السَّيِّئَاتِ الْحَسَنَةِ, and what is this, yani the knowledge that frees a person from yani the consequences of the jam or the fix that they have fallen into by the influences of the people before us? It is following up an evil deed with a good deed. Yani that's what came from the hadith, the text of the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَاتِ الْحَسَنَةِ. And of course we know that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is pointing to us in the explanation of this hadith that it's not just following up an evil deed with a good deed, but even before that, and a person committed some kind of sin, deviation, corruption, repentance to Allah. And even if they didn't repent, at least ask Allah's forgiveness. So these are three ways, yani, that the consequences of sins are removed due to the action, the effort of the human being himself to save yourself from the consequences of the errors and mistakes and deviation that you have fallen into. And you follow up an evil deed with a good deed. Wal hasanatu, and here Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, wal hasanat, the good deeds that can expiate for these sins, is ma nadaba Allahu ilayhi ala lisani khatam an-nabiyyin min al-amal wal akhlaq wal sifat. This is the text of yani the first part of what we want to discuss this evening. Yani good deeds are that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commended or recommended or shown us as being good upon the tongue of the seal of the prophets, including al-a'mal, actions, wal-akhlaq, yani character, and as-sifat, yani different qualities that a person may possess. Yani hasanat may come yani from any of these things, actions and yani character, good character and good qualities. The Shaykh begins to explain yani this statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, that is Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Allahu Akbar. Whoever of us have children, we should pray a lot for our children, that they will be better than us. Naam. That they will be better than us. And you look at Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, may Allah protect and preserve him, and what he has offered to the Muslim Ummah in terms of knowledge. And look at his son, subhanAllah. And we used to say 20 years ago that if his son, and Shaykh Abdul Razak, if he reached the age of his father, he will surpass him, and Allah knows best. But it seems to be coming true today. And his father is still here though, so it's going to be difficult. But he's on the path. Naam. He's on the path, no doubt about it. If you find any book by Shaykh Abdul Razak, buy it. It's all khair. Naam. The Shaykh begins by praising Allah and bearing witness to the oneness of Allah, and that he has no partners, and the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has previously sabaqa and bayyana, made clear, rahimahullah ta'ala, the al-umur allati tumahhisu al-abda wa tukhallisuhu bi-idhni Allahi tabaraka wa ta'ala mimma iqtarafahu min al-dhunub. And the Shaykh has previously made clear those matters or those affairs which tumahhisu, purify the abd, the worshipper, wa tukhallisuhu, and frees him by the permission of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from the sins that he has engaged in, those things that he has committed, those acts of disobedience that he has fallen into, of his sins. فَتَكُونُ مَانِعًا لِلْعُقُوبَةِ الْمُتَرَتِّبَةِ عَلَى الذَّنْبِ. So these yani things, mumahhisat, yani they will be a mani'a, yani a preventive force to prevent the uquba, the punishment that is based upon that sin, that's supposed to come with that sin. It will prevent that punishment from befalling you. So he, rahimahullah, has mentioned that dhunub yazulu mujabuha bi ashya, yani that which is necessitated by sins, meaning their consequences are removed, yani go away, pass away, cease, due to a number of things. And he mentioned three things previous, yani up until now, and that is repentance, seeking forgiveness, and righteous deeds which expiate for sins. ثُمَّ بَعْدَ ذَلِكُمْ أَضَافَ عَمْرًا رَابِيًا. After that, he added to it a fourth matter, which will be mentioned, يَأْتِي ذِكْرُهُ, and that is المصائب, yani calamities, afflictions, which befall the abd. And we already came to know that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala has delayed the mention of this fourth matter intentionally. He didn't mention it with the first three. Rather, he separated the fourth one from the first three, even though all of them yani remove the consequences of sins. And this is because لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِمَّا لِلْعَبْدِ فِيهِ كَسْبْ وَالْعَمَلِ. Because this fourth matter, unlike the first three, is not something that the human being can earn from his own action. It's not by his action. It's not achieved through his action. But rather, it is something that he is tested with. فَيَحْتَصِبُهُ الْمُبْتَلَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كَفَّارَةً وَرِفْعَةً. Yani, so this is something that is a test, yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the person with, some calamity or affliction or something that befalls him. فَيَحْتَصِبُهُ. So he should what? Make ihtisab. Yani he should expect, anticipate, hope for, yani the one who is tested, hope for some compensation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani kafara, an expiation, or rifa'a. Yani meaning that the calamities that the believer is afflicted with, if they are patient with it, it will be a means of expiation of sins, or a means of rifa'a, raising their degrees. And in some of the narrations mentioned, that it will be multiplication of their rewards. Yani multiplication of your good deeds, expiation of your sins, or elevation of your status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are a lot of hadith that are authentic concerning these three affairs, that yani, if a person is patient with the calamities that befall them, then these are some of the benefits. So here he says that al-masa'ib, that all the calamities that befall us are kafarat, yani they can be expiation. And for this reason, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah delayed, yani, أخره شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية وبين في هذه الأثناء حاجة العبد الشديدة إلى إناعية بهذه الأمور الثلاثة التوبة والاستغفار والعمل. يعني he separated because it's different than the first three, because the first three are some things that you can do and this one you don't have any control over. يعني this is something that comes يعني by the decree of Allah. And here in the course of this discussion, شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية has made clear the need of the abd, the severe need of the abd, the dire need of the abd to al-inaya bihadi al-umur al-thalatha, to give care and attention to these three matters: repentance, seeking forgiveness, and doing righteous deeds. And he emphasizes this point. And then he says, especially khasatan indama yansha al-insan fi bi'atin aw mujtama'in yaqillu fi al-'ilm wad-da'wa wa yaqillu fi al-salah wa ahli al-salah. Yani especially the person who is raised up in an environment or in a society where there's yani little knowledge and little dawah, yani almost there's no knowledge and no dawah and no righteousness or uprightness or the people of uprightness. And people is in a person is in a bad society where there's no good, there's no khair. Of course, you're talking about the Muslims. We're talking about the Muslims, right? In a Muslim country, but the society that he's in, there's a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of dawah and a little bit of righteousness and the people of righteousness. Especially the person that's in that kind of environment, their situation is going to be worse. So if a person is raised up in the like of this type of societies, then he will be tested with something, whether a little or a lot, from these sins and this acts of disobedience that yani due to them a person will get some uqubat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani punishments. Yani the person is going to be afflicted, going to be tested with falling into some of these things, whether a little bit or a lot of it, some people more than others. فَهُوَ بِحَاجَةٍ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ الأمور التي يذهب الآثار تلك الذنوب بأن تمحو الذنب تمحو الخطية تذهب السيئة. So here the Shaykh is saying, Shaykh Abdul Razak, so the human being is in need to know these affairs which remove the effects of those sins, which erase the sin, which erase the mistake or error, which take away yani a person's yani which yani cause to be him to be released from the sayyi'ah, yani the sins that he commits. So he is in need to know this, especially عندما ينظر إلى حياته وتاريخه ويجد أنه ملي بأشياء وأشياء كثيرة. Yani especially when a person looks at his life and looks at his history, and he goes back and looks in the last 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, maybe a person is 60 years old, and they look back on their life. And if we don't look back, maybe. Because if we look back, it's ugly. We don't want to look back. But you have to look back and see what your condition is so that you can rectify it before it's too late. Especially if a person looks back and see that they're full of so many things. Yani filled, their life is filled with disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then that person remembers, أَنَّهُ سَيَلْقَ اللَّهُ وَإِنَّ اللَّهُ يُعَاقِبْ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْأَعْمَالِ. And then the person remembers and is reminded of the fact that they will meet Allah and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them for these deeds. In this case, the person is in need, fi'lan, in fact, in reality. Yani hajatan shadidatan, dire need, severe need to knowing these three matters, repentance, seeking forgiveness, wal ikthar, and increasing in doing of righteous deeds. For indeed Allah جَلَّ شَعْنُهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, hasanat, good deeds, remove, yani, سَيِّئَاتِ, evil deeds, meaning the consequences of them. So when, لَمَّا أَشَارَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَى الزَّمَانِ الَّذِي تَغْلُبْ فِيهِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ أَوْ تَكْفُرُ فِيهِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ اسْتَدَلَّ عَلَى وُجُودْ أَنْوَامِنَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فِي أَوْسَاطِ النَّاسِ بِحَدِيثِ النَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلِكُمْ. And when Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is pointing to this time period in which Jahiliyyah has overcome it, and it's overcome by Jahiliyyah, or at least a lot of it, there's plenty of Jahiliyyah in a time period, in any time period, wherever it may be, then he is using as an evidence of the presence of the different types of jahiliyyah in the midst of the people, he's using a proof that this will in fact occur. Yani the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said, you will definitely follow the people who came before you. And the hadith, the Shaykh says, even though it came, يعني خرج مخرج الإخبار إلا أنه في الحقيقة تهذير للأمة من اتباع سنن اليهود والنصارى. يعني that even though the way that this hadith came from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني from the perspective of it, of information, إخبار, he's informing us that this will happen, but in reality it is a warning. It's not just information that this is going to happen, this is a warning to his ummah that indeed that we will follow the ways of the Christians and the Jews. So he has informed us, yani, but meaning intending to warn us. It is as though he is saying, تَيَقَّذُوا وَتَنَبَّهُوا وَاحْذَرُوا مِنْ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ. Yani, wake up, pay attention, be cautious from this affair, yani, of following the ways of the people before us, the disbelievers, whether Christians or Jews or whoever. For indeed, there will be those who will follow the ways of those who came before us. Then he brings to our attention, ثُمَّ يُنَبِّهُ عَلَى أَمْرٍ مُهِمٍ لِلْغَايَةِ. Then he brings to our attention a matter of extreme importance. أَلَا وَهُوَ مَتَى يَعْرِفُ الْإِنسَانِ فِعْلًا وُجُودُ الْأَشْيَاءِ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فِي النَّاسِ. It says فِي النَّفْسِ, that's a mistake. It should say فِي النَّاسِ أَوْ فِيهِ هُوَ نَفْسُهُ لَا سِيَمَ إِذَا كَانَ فَاقِدًا لِلْعِلْمِ. Yani, when will a person come to know indeed the presence of these things from Jahiliyyah in the people or in his own self, especially if he doesn't have knowledge? When will he come to know? How will he come to know that these things, that these influences, this pollution from the Jahiliyyah has yani afflicted him? When will he come to know this? كيف يعرف أن هذه الأشياء التي فيه أو في الآخرين هي من الجاهلية. How can he know that these things which are in him or in the others, that it is from جاهلية, that it is from the يعني the ways of the disbelievers, that it is from innovation or deviation? How will he know? يعني a person is afflicted with innovation, he doesn't even know it. He's afflicted with deviation, he doesn't know it. He's afflicted with corruption, even kufr, and he doesn't even know it. Isn't this the condition of the Muslims today? You don't have to go far to other countries, right here. You don't have to go anywhere, it's all around us. Naam. How will he know this?
Knowledge.
Naam. فَأَصْبَحَ الْمَقَامِ يَحْتَاجِ إِلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَبَصِيرًا بِدِينِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So this situation, the situation became such that the person is in need of knowledge and insight into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also is in need at the same time to look and examine his own situation and the condition of the people in light of that which he has learned of the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Yani the person is in need of knowledge of the deen of Allah, and then he's in need, after he gets that knowledge, to examine his own situation, the situation of the people in his environment, his society, his family, his tribe, whoever, to examine it based on the knowledge that he has learned of the deen of Allah. It's necessary to do this. Not just seek knowledge and then just yani, collect knowledge. But let it be a means through which you can see yourself and where you at and what you need to do to improve yourself, to get nearer to Allah. Don't be content with yourself. Rather examine yourself based on knowledge, and you will find that you're not where you thought you were at. We are not where we think we are. Some of us think we are the saved sect. Al-firqa al-najiyah. Yani means that if you say that you yani really following the sunnah and the prophet and the salaf, khalas, you saved automatically, no matter what you do, even though you lying and stealing and cheating and slandering and backbiting, and just khalas, you saved like that. Yani, is a person guaranteed paradise just because he says he's a Muslim? So because you say you Sunni, Salafi, whatever, that doesn't mean that you guaranteed to be saved. You gotta live that Islam. You gotta live that. This is serious. Some people actually believe, like some Christians believe, they saved. And they're going to hell. Guaranteed if they die on that. No doubt about it. So do you think that some of us are not going to hell? That may be a rude awakening. It may be a bitter thing to hear. But it's the truth. If our actions dictate that, that's what it is. It is what it is. especially if a person is fallen into to kufr and shirk, even though they're saying they're Muslim. Because the person who dies on kufr, there's no discussion. Allah has made it haram on himself to admit that person into paradise. And it means that we have to learn and then we have to act on the knowledge. We have to do it. We have to live it, not just talk it. May Allah grant us success in acting upon the knowledge. We have knowledge, naam. But honey, what are we doing with it? Even though our knowledge may be a little bit, but we do have knowledge. We know that this is the right way. We know that the sunnah is the way. We know that we have to follow the way of the early generations of the Muslims, the Salaf al-Salih. We know that. So that's knowledge. Even if we didn't memorize the Quran and we didn't memorize a lot of hadith, which we need to be doing, not just talking, espousing yani words, what they call them, slogans and stuff like that. That's not enough. Real knowledge. You have to start memorizing the Quran, the book of Allah. That's what you start with. We have to start memorizing the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani right now, today, if our ticket to Jannah was that we actually memorize some hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that we live by in our real life. And that's what it really comes down to. That you have to live by it. But we don't even know it. How can we live by that which we don't know? How many of us have memorized 10 hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? Don't raise hands. I'm just saying that as an example. How many of us have memorized 10 hadith of the Prophet of Allah ﷺ? Some of us memorized 10 songs, 10 rap, whatever, I don't know what they call them. Rap, yani pieces, what do they call that stuff anyway? Rap? Huh? Lines, albums, whatever. Huh? Some of us memorize all kind of stuff, and we didn't memorize 10 hadith from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahi, this is something we have to look at ourselves. Start with one. It's okay. Even if you're old, even the old people, most of you are not older than me, except yani Mustafa and Uthman. and yeah. Should I say your name too? You want to be with the old people? Farb, naam. So, start today. Let's start memorizing. Memorizing the Quran, even a little bit. Don't matter. If you live long, you'll memorize more, inshallah. And if you don't live long, at least you got started. And memorize hadith of the Prophet. Pick some hadith that are very important. Memorize them and just keep saying them so you don't forget them and so that you act upon them. That's the point, that we have to live by it. And I'm getting sidetracked here now. The Shaykh, he says here, after mentioning this, the importance of knowledge and then examining ourselves and those around us to see if we have been affected, polluted, influenced by the ways of Jahiliyyah and the Ahlul Kitab, he says, here I will mention a story, a nice story, that will make clear this point. And it is that a young man was in contact with me in the past time, and he was yani discussing with me that he was connected to a ta'ifa min al-mutasawwifa, yani a group of Sufis. And he said to me, yani he informed me, as though yani speaking of himself as one of them, not talking about them, but he himself is one of them. And he said, qala li ana mundhu nasha'tu wa ana ma'hum wa amshi ma'hum wa ala tariqatihim ma ra'aytu fihim bid'atan itlaqan. He said, yani the young man said to the Shaykh, since I was growing up, yani I was with them, I was walking with them, I was following their way, their tariqah, and I never saw in them even one innovation, not even one. Al-Itlaq, no innovation. Group of Sufis, no innovation. He said, I didn't see any bid'ah at all. These people, they have no bid'ah. I haven't seen it. Ask me. Yani I can tell you, they have no bid'ah. So I said to him, I want to advise you or suggest to you a book that you can read. And there's no harm if we read it together, you and I and you, we can read it together. So he said, I sat in this masjid, many sittings, and we read the book Ma'arij al-Qubul by Shaykh Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah ta'ala. Yani a book about Islamic Aqidah. So we read until we reached one third of the book, and we were learning and we were reading, yani taking our time. And we were benefiting, and whatever was unclear, I would make it clear to him. So when we reached one third of the book, he said, I want to speak to you about something. I said, tafadhal, go ahead. He said, oh, akhi, these people, they have a lot of bid'ah. Now he has some knowledge, so he can see now. Yeah. See, before he didn't have no knowledge. He said, they have a lot of bid'ah. بدع كثيرة والضلالات كثيرة. They have a lot of deviation, misguidance. So the Shaykh, he says, he mentioned this story as what? To show, to illustrate the reality of what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is saying here. The person has to acknowledge, then they got to look based on knowledge, and then it becomes clear to them. So the issue here is what? That indeed, when a person hasn't studied, ما درس وما تعلم وما تفقه ولا عرف, and he didn't learn, he didn't do anything. Now he will say there's no bid'ah. But when he has read the ayat, and read the hadith, and read the textual proofs, and came across the evidences, at this time, yatanabba. Yani he will pay attention, now it will become clear to him. This is the meaning that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah wants to bring to our attention. That the abd is in need, in this situation, first and foremost, and yatabassara. Yani to gain insight into the deen, and yata'allam, and learn. And read the ayats and the hadith, and know their meanings and their indications. ثم في دوء ذلك ينظر إلى واقعه هو وأيضا إلى واقع الناس. Then, in light of this knowledge, he can look at his own situation, and he can also look at the situation of the people. And after that, he will know: is there any dalalat, yani deviations, misguidance? Is there any jahiliyyah, ignorance? Is there any mukhalifat, yani oppositions, contradictions to the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Then you will come to know. Reflect upon the speech of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. He says, yani, in the text of the book, إِذَا كَانَ الْأَمْرُ كَذَلِكَ. If the affair is like this, like Allah, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that you will definitely follow the ways of the people who came before you. Yani, even if they go into the hole of a lizard, which is crooked, and you will follow them through this crookedness in every kind of deviation and corruption that they fall into. If this is so, then the person who Allah has expanded his breast to Islam, to the real Islam, then this person will be on a light from his Rabb. He was dead and Allah has given him life, and Allah has made for him a light, meaning knowledge. He has made for him a light that he can walk with amongst the people. So it is a necessity that he take note of the ahwal al-jahiliyyah. Yani the conditions of Jahiliyyah and the way of the two nations, those who Allah's wrath is upon and those who are astray, meaning the Jews and the Christians. Then he will see that indeed he himself has been afflicted with some of that. Yani he will see that he himself has been influenced by their ways. لكن متى يرى ذلك. But when will he see this? إذا تعلم هو. Yani if he learns, then he will be able to see. As far as if he remains jahilan, ignorant, غير متعلم ولا متفكي في الدين الله تجده ممتليا بالبدع ويقول ما عرف بدع في حياتي أبدا ولا وقعت في بدع أبدا. يعني if the person remains ignorant and he doesn't learn and get understanding of the deen, he will find that he himself is filled with bid'ah, innovation, and he will be saying, I don't know, I didn't know of any bid'ah in my life, abadan, ever, and I haven't fallen into any innovation. That's what he would be saying if he's ignorant. But, and even this person, when he hears the khatib in the khutbah speaking, or the wa'idh, the one who is admonishing the people, speaking about innovation, when he hears this speech being directed to him, he himself, yani the speaker is trying to wake up these people, and he in his own self will say, he doesn't mean me. Yani, this is not intended for me. He will hear the speech of the one who is speaking, and he will be saying, لا يعنيني. This doesn't, yani, apply to me. لأنني لست صاحب البدع. Because I'm not from the people of bidع. Yani, unknowingly, he doesn't know. And the reason for this is because he has not learned, he doesn't have insight, he doesn't have understanding of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet, صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. إذن, in that case, ما هو المخلص؟ يقول رحمه الله فأنفع ما للخاصة والعامة العلم بما يخلص النفوس من هذه الورطات. So what is the escape? What is the place of refuge? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says the most beneficial thing for the elite and the common masses of the people is knowledge of what saves a person, rescues the people from these waratat, yani these yani difficult situations, predicament, an awkward position, or fix, or jam, or dilemma that a person falls into. Yani that a person has to have knowledge of what is the escape from it, what releases you from it. This warathat. And the Shaykh here says, warathat. Yani, warathat mada? What kind of warathat? What kind of fix or jam are we talking about here? He said before, just a little while ago, qabla qaleel, yani, Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah said that the person, if he's raised in the societies with his little knowledge and there's a lot of ignorance, then it is of necessity that this person will be afflicted with some of these sins, with some of these acts of disobedience, with some of these errors or mistakes or shortcomings or failure, yani, to fulfill obligatory duties. Everybody will be affected with some of this. It is of a necessity that they will fall into this. So the most beneficial thing for the elite and the common people, meaning for everybody, nobody is without need of this, is knowledge of these things that will save you from these yani entanglements, or this fix or jam, the warathat. And this is like what the people, arbab ad-dunya, yani the people who is in love with the dunya, yani their whole life is dunya. They use this word warathat. This word is common, it's widespread, very widespread. Yani kathir, yani the people are always using this word, and they are saying tawarratha, mutawarritha, tawarratna. Yani they are using this word a lot. It's widespread amongst the people, and you can hardly pass through a day without hearing it. However, the general speech of the people when they use this word, they are talking about the affairs of the dunya. When they are using this word, all of it is in worldly affairs. However, Ibn Taymiyyah and the people of nobility and the people of excellence, الورطة عندهم هي الورطة في الدين. When they talk about somebody falling into a dilemma or a difficult predicament or a fix or a jam, they are talking about person in a dilemma in their deen. They have fallen into some error or some deviation or corruption in their deen. That's what they're talking about. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and the people from the Salaf, the people of nobility and excellence, when they say ورطة, they're talking about يعني in the deen. And this is like what came in the Sahih Hadith, يعني Sahih al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, and Abd ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, inna min warathat al-umur allati la makhraj liman awqa nafsahu fiha, yani from the affairs that a person may fall into, get themselves into a difficult jam or fix, that there's no way out of, is that a person, yani that they cause themselves to fall into, is the spilling of blood that is haram without any permission, yani that a person spills someone's blood. This is a warta, yani a fix, a jam that a person is into. Not, I got into a jam, I overspent, I used the credit card the wrong way, or I did some other dumb stuff. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the real jam that you're in, that you really need to be worried about. And that is, that a person, for example, Ibn Umar said, that a person spills blood unlawfully, that he has no right to. So as far as the person who has been raised نَشَأَ فِي جَاهِلِيَةٍ وَبَيْنَ أُنَّاسِ لَا يُصَلُّونَ, yani raised in an ignorant society where people are not praying, where people are falling in all kinds of sins, major sins. ثُمَّ يَجِدُ أَنَّهُ تَرَعْرَعْ فِي هَذِي الْوَرْطَةِ, and then he finds that himself thriving, flourishing in these affairs, yani that he's getting engaged into that which put him into a real jam or a fix, yani with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مضى عليه رضحا من حياته لا يصلي, yani a long period of time passed in his life he didn't pray. Do we know any people like this? Long period, they're Muslims, but they stop praying for weeks or months or maybe years. That's a real jam. That person is in a jam. But there's a solution, and that's what Ibn Taymiyyah is talking about. That's what we're talking about. Yani no matter what your situation is, there's a way out of it. There's a way out of it. Yani a tawbah, an istighfar, and following up evil deeds with good deeds. Person went a long part of their life without praying. A long part of their life, yu'akhir al-khumur, yani being addicted to alcohol, women, all kinds of haram sins. وَهُوَ بَيْنَ عَشِيَّةً وَدُحَاهًا سَيُفَارِكُ هَذِي الْحَيَاتِ, yani between the night and the morning, this person is about to leave this world. Huh? Yani all of us, we are about to leave this world, right? Whether it's this night or tomorrow morning or whatever, it's that close. But nobody's really thinking about this. They're thinking about, I'll do better later. I'll get it together at some point in the future. The person is about to leave this world. وَيَلْقَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِأَعْمَالِهِ هَذِهِ كُلِّهَا. And they will meet Allah with these deeds of theirs. All of them will be there. سَيُحَاسِبُهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ عَلَيْهَا. And you will be called to account by the Lord of the worlds for these things that you have engaged in. So this person is in a real fix. يعني ورطة عظيمة جدا. A tremendous fix. Jam. How can he get out of these fixes that he is in? The Shaykh, he says, لا يليق بعاقل. It is not suitable, appropriate, befitting of a person who has a mind to remain in this fix until he meets Allah. So just leave yourself in that condition until you meet Allah. This is not appropriate, it's not befitting, it's not suitable for a person who has a mind. That's why we say these people are insane. Because they're staying in this condition, they're doing nothing about it. But the عاقل هو الذي يسعى إلى التخليص نفسه من الورطة التي هو فيه. يعني the عاقل, the intelligent, sane person, is the person who strives, who makes every effort to rescue, to free yourself from this fix, from this jam that he or she is in. فيقول رحمه الله تعالى. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says the most beneficial of that which is for the elite and the general mass of the people is knowledge of what frees you from this fix or these jams. So what is it that frees a person from these jams? We have just mentioned this previously so many times. Tawbah, istighfar, and al-hasanat al-mahiyah. Yani, good deeds that erase, yani, the consequences of the sins. This is, these three things are the things that remove a person, yani, get them out of this fix. No matter what sin the person has fallen into, if he repents to Allah, the door of repentance is open. حتى ولو عمد في الذم 60 سنة. Even if a person was committing that sin for 60 years, the door of repentance is open. He repents to Allah with sincere tawbah صادقة, truthful, sincere repentance. In one moment, لحظة واحدة 60 سنة كلها تمحى. The sins of 60 years is erased by one moment of sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا فضل الله. This is the favor of Allah. Sincere repentance frees a person from the jam. Constant seeking forgiveness. A lot of seeking Allah's forgiveness also is from the things that helps a person to be rescued from this jam. Also, al-ikthar min al-hasanat. Doing a lot of good deeds. Whether salat or siyam or sadaqah. Bir, yani being kind and dutiful to parents, especially keeping ties with relations and other than that. These are also from the things that help a person to free themselves from this jam. Indeed, yani al-hasanat yudhibna al-sayyat, remove sins. Wa atbi'i al-sayyat al-hasanat tamhuha, and follow up an evil deed with a good deed. It removes it, erases it. Here Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, وَهُوَ اِتْبَاعَ السَّيَّاتِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Yani the escape, the means of escape that's mentioned in the hadith is following up an evil deed with a good deed. Remember that this hadith, yani, is the explanation of the ayat that we started this book with, right? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? لَقَضَ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Yani that we have advised those people, who the people of the book came before you, to observe taqwa of Allah. And this hadith of Mu'adh is the explanation of that ayat. And this is all that we've been talking about. Yani that this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ told him how to observe taqwa of Allah. Yani to be conscious of Allah, observing His commands and avoiding His prohibitions in every situation or circumstance. And then definitely you will fall short in something, therefore make up for it by following up an evil deed with a good deed. Yani first and foremost, try to be obedient to Allah in every situation or circumstance. And wherever you fall short, follow up a evil deed with a good deed. Repent to Allah, seek His forgiveness. Try to remove the mistakes and errors that you made by following up an evil deed with a good deed. Yani this is the escape. And the last line of this section, the Shaykh he says, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, والحسنات ما ندب الله إليه على لسان خاتم النبيين من الأعمال والأخلاق والصفات. يعني what are the حسنات, the good deeds that expiate for sins, ما ندب الله إليه على لسان خاتم النبيين. يعني that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the tongue of the Prophet, the seal of the Prophets, يعني He has encouraged us to do, يعني recommended, commended us with, through the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, as we mentioned previously, the books that the scholars have collected of Fadail al-A'mal, specifically, and generally, يعني in any books of hadith we will find, whoever says this, whoever does this, he will be forgiven his sins. There are lots of hadith, innumerable hadith. And some of those things are easy things to do, whether it's from Salat, Zakat, Siyam, all kind of things that have been mentioned. And specifically, the book of Imam Nawawi, Riyad al-Salihin, has a section, Kitab al-Fadail, where he has how many hadith? And you can't even read them. If you sat down from morning to night, you wouldn't finish them. You want to know what to do? It's unlimited. There's no end to it. And that's just one book. And there are books that are exclusively devoted to this topic of the virtuous deeds, that whoever says something, they will be forgiven their sins. Whoever does something, even small, they will be forgiven from some of their sins. So what are they? Those are the things that have come to us, yani through the Prophet ﷺ, that Allah has encouraged us with, whether it's amal, actions, or akhlaq, character, or sifat, yani qualities that a person possess which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are hasanat that expiate for sins. So the abd, the slave, servant, worshipper of Allah, يحرس العبد على هذه الأعمال التي بعث بها النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام من الأعمال الصالحة القولية أو الفعلية أو أخلاق فاضلات, فاضلات plural word actually should be there, والصفات ونحو ذلك. يعني so the abd should be eager and diligent and strive and aspire to do these deeds with which the Prophet ﷺ has been missioned, the righteous deeds, whether they are speech or action or virtuous characteristics or qualities, and whatever is like that. We must be eager, diligent, striving, aspiring, ashaddul hirs, yani making the greatest effort possible in order to save ourselves from the pitfalls, from the yani jam, the fix, the predicament that we have fallen into due to our previous behavior. And here, the next paragraph, and we don't have a lot of time left, but the next paragraph, and I'm not going to finish what I intended to cover today, but in any case, and in the next paragraph, the Shaykh, he says, يُضِيفُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ عَمْرًا رَابِيًا. Here, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah adds to these three the fourth matter which we alluded to previously, that removes the effects of sins, and that, and this one also is something that occurs in this world, meaning that the repentance and seeking forgiveness and doing righteous deeds, and as well this fourth one is from the matters of this world, while there are things that remove the consequences of sins in the grave, and there are things which remove the consequences of sins on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But this one is from those things in the world that remove the consequences of sins in the dunya, and it is al-masa'ib al-mukaffira, yani the calamities that expiate for sins, that expiate for sins, calamities. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, وَمِمَّا يُزِيلُ مُوجَبَ الذُّنُوبَ الْمُصَابِ الْمُكَفَّرَةِ. Yani from that which removes the effects of sins, that which is obligated by sins, the consequences of sins, are expiating calamities, afflictions. What are these calamities? He defines them, the masaib. What are the calamities or afflictions that he's talking about? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, كُلُّ مَا يُعْلِمْ مِنْ هَمٍ أَوْ حُزْنٍ أَوْ أَذَى فِي مَالٍ أو إرض أو جسد أو غير ذلك. يعني everything that causes hurt or pain or suffering, كل ما يؤلم, whatever causes hurt or pain or suffering, من, for example, هم, يعني a person, يعني is worrying about something, or حزن, or is sad or grieving over something, يعني worrying about something that's going to happen, or grieving over something that already happened, or أذى, or any hurt or harm, whether in a person's wealth, or in their honor, or in their physical body, or other than that. This is what he means by calamities, whatever caused hurt or harm to the person. Whether it's something that you worrying about in the future, something about to happen, you worried about this new president is going to make it hard on the Muslims. And Allah is the Lord of all the worlds, who controls everything in the heavens and the earth. President don't control nothing, not the prime minister, the king, or anybody else. Allah is the one who controls everything. What are we worrying about? And you just worship Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for you. Naam. Or grieving over something that happened, or some harm that came in reference to your wealth or your honor or your physical body or other than that. All of these things are the things that the servant is afflicted with, and all of these are expiators. And the Prophet ﷺ said, يعني لما عاد مريضا قال له طهور إن شاء الله. يعني when the Prophet would visit a sick person, he would say purification إن شاء الله. لا بس طهور إن شاء الله. لا بس, it's not harmful. Rather, this is purification. Just like a person makes wudu, they purify themselves physically. يعني sickness is a purification of one's sins. إن شاء الله, إن شاء الله. يعني إن شاء الله, because it's by everything is by the will of Allah. And the person might be sick and don't get no purification because something went wrong here. Maybe they cursed Allah when they got sick instead of being patient. So now they're sick and they get no purification. As opposed to the person who's patient, they're sick but they're getting purification. What could be better than that Allah expiate your sins now than do you have to face them on Yawm al-Qiyamah? And of course we don't want to be sick. I don't like being sick. But you know what? If Allah decrees it, when you get sick, be happy. That's what Allah decreed. There's no escape from that. Be happy, be thankful, be grateful. At least minimum, you have to be patient. That's minimum. But what's better than that is to be thankful, to be grateful, to be pleased with what Allah has decreed, because it's nothing but a means of expiation of your sins. Because when Allah has, when Allah loves the people, He tests them in order to what? The trials and afflictions to expiate their sins. And there was no people tested more than the prophets and messengers, and then those who were like them, and so on. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he visited a person who was sick, he said, Tuhur, inshaAllah. Ay mutahhira. Yani, this is a purification, a mukaffira, expiation for you. So the servant, the worshipper of Allah, when they are afflicted with any worry or grief or harm, even the pricking of a thorn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiates their sins by that, as it has been confirmed in the hadith of the Prophet salawatullah wasalamuhu alayhi. So it is incumbent, ينبغي على العبد أن يحتسب ذلك كل ما يصاب به من أي مصيبة أي كانت في بدنه في صحته في ماله في تجارته في ولده. يعني it is incumbent upon the worshipper أن يحتسب, يعني احتساب, to anticipate, to have expectation and anticipation and hope that this is a means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise your degrees, multiply your deeds, and expiate your sins. Every time a person is afflicted with any kind of calamity, whatever it may be, physically, yani their body, their health, their wealth, their trade, their business, their children, and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Shaykh mentions here, I think this ayat is in Surah Ali Imran. Huh? In Baqarah? In Baqarah, now. وَلَيَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقَصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And I forgot to look up this ayat, but if somebody knows the exact reference for it, we could just make a mention of it. It's in Surah Al-Baqarah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we would definitely, certainly test you with something of fear. This is one type of trial that expiates sins. Hunger. Naqsin, yani some loss or defect or diminishing of one's wealth, or physically the people, yani loss of life, or thamarat, or your yani what's thamarat? Fruits now. Wabashir as-sabirin. Huh? And give glad tidings to those who are patient. This is the point, that this ayah has this beautiful ayah, but the only point I want to say about what? That all of these tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He would test us with, and others, and these are just examples, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And who will benefit from it? The sabireen. That's the point. Not just because affliction befell you, khalas, you over. No. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Those who are patient. At least you have to be patient. And the higher level than that is to be pleased with what Allah has decreed, even though it hurts.
No reference number?
The ayat is in Surah Al-Baqarah. Somebody please find it for us. I forgot to look it up. That's my own shortcoming. وَهَذِي الْعَنْوَاءِ مِنَ الْإِبْتِلَاءَاتِ. And all of these types of trials and tribulations, no human being is exempt from them. So they should يعني have anticipation and expectation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it will be a means of expiation of their sins. And here Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, قَالَ وَلَكِنْ لَيْسَ هَذَا مِنْ فِعْلِ الْعَبْدِ. And this last one, the calamities that expiate for sins, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is saying, this is not from the actions of the person. يعني هذه المصائب التي تصاب بها مرض أو فقر أو حاجة أو أذى يتعرض له بأذى أو نحو ذلك ليس هذا من كسب العبد لكن ليس هذا من فعل العبد. يعني in other words he's saying here what? That these calamities that befall a person, whether sickness or poverty or being in need or some harm that a person may يعني bring to you, يعني a person tries to harm you or something like, or whatever is like this, this is not something that the person earns by their own action. يعني this is not from the action of the person. And this is the reason ولهذا أخر ذكرها هذا الأمر الرابع إلى هذا الموضوع. And this is the reason why Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah has delayed the mention of this fourth matter and separated from the first three, which are from the actions of a human being, that they should actively be engaged in trying to seek and escape and rescue from the jam that they are in. While this one is not in our hands, rather it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This fourth matter يعني فهذه الأشياء يعني أربع أشياء, these are four matters: repentance, seeking forgiveness, يعني doing good deeds, and the expiating calamities. All of these on the hayat al-dunya take place in this world to purify the human being. All of these are in this world. These are purifiers of a person's sins. And the favor of Allah is azim. Naam, is azim, is magnificent, tremendous, great. In his, yani freeing the people who have committed sins, the people who have committed errors, and freeing them from their sins. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his favor is great in that he has made all of these ways for us. And there are also mumahhisat ukhra ba'da dhalik, and there are some other things that purify a person from their sins. If these are not sufficient, these four, if they are not sufficient in purifying a person, and I'm going to just go through this quickly and then we're going to stop. Yani the other mumahhisat, there are three mumahhisat in the grave, three of them in the grave. Yani that will freeze a human being from their sins, and this will happen after the person has died. The first of them is Salatul Janazah. And Shaykh al-Islam in the Majmu'a Fatawa and other places, he mentioned them as 10, and the Shaykh mentions two of them that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions as one. So we will mention 11, but Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions them in other places as 10. And Shaykh Abdul Razak separates one of them into two, and to give emphasis to two matters that are really connected to one another. Ayah 155, Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, Ayah 155. Jazakallah khaya Adam. There are three matters in the grave that will happen to a person. The first of them is Salatul Janazah, the funeral prayer, and the seeking of forgiveness of the Muslims for that person when they have passed away. Their dua for his maghfirah, forgiveness, and rahmah, and mercy, and najat min an-nar, that he be saved from the hellfire. This is the first of the things that rescues a person from the consequences of their sins. And when people pray Salatul Janazah and ask for a person's forgiveness and the mercy of Allah, and that person be saved from the hellfire. And the Prophet ﷺ, in the Salatul Janazah, he used to say, Allahumma ghfir lahu warhamu. May Allah have mercy upon him. Allah forgive him and have mercy upon him. Wa'afihi wa'afu anhu. And grant him well-being and pardon him. Wa'akrim nuzulahu wa'awsi' mudkhalahu. Wa'ghsilhu بِالْمَاءِ وَالثَّلْجِ وَالْبَرْدِ. And honor, give him an honorable place, yani, and make spacious, yani, his place of resting, and wash him with water and hail and snow, or snow and hail. وَنَقِّهِ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ وَالْخَطَايَا كَمَا يُنَقَّى الثَّوْبُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الدَّنَاسِ. And purify him from his sins and errors and mistakes in the same way that a white garment is purified from stains. And these supplications benefit the believer. They benefit the Muslim person who has died. They benefit him, yani these supplications. And this is the first matter. The second matter that happens in the grave is the fitna, the trial of the grave, and the ra'a, the fear that takes place in the grave. And the two, yani fattanan. It should be fattanan instead of fattanat. Fattanan, the two testers. That is, they will come to him two angels who will have black faces and blue eyes, and one of them is called Munkar and the other is called Nakir. And this is also from the things that purify a person from their sins. And the third matter is the gifts. مَا يُحْدَى لِلْمَيِّتِ يعني the reward that is given as a gift from actions that a person in this world does and gives it to the dead who passed away, such as making hajj for someone, giving charity for someone, and what is similar to this. And this topic is a topic in itself. You should look in Ahkam al-Janaz by Shaykh al-Albani for detailed explanation of what is permissible to give to as a gift to a dead person. And what kind of good deed can you do on behalf of a dead person and what you cannot. This is an important topic, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah has mentioned in detail with proof and evidence in every kind of reference that you can find. In any case, there are some things that a person can do. He can make hajj on behalf of someone with conditions and rules and charity and so on. And this is from the things, yani the third of the matters that take place in the grave. And this also benefits the dead person, these three affairs are in the grave. And this is in addition to the four matters that we mentioned previously, making a total of seven. If this is not sufficient to compensate for the wrong that a person has done, they are also mumahhisat yawm al-qiyamah, things that purify a person on the day of standing, when we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first of them is the ahwal yawm al-qiyamah, the terrors of that day, what will be taking place on yawm al-qiyamah. Yani the ahwal and the shadaid and the faza'ah, yani fear and hardships and difficulties that will take place on that day. And this also will purify a person by the permission of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And the second matter that he separates, but it's really part of the previous one, shiddatul mawqif, because he wants to emphasize, I imagine, shiddatul mawqif, the severity of what would take place at the place of standing, when people will be waiting for judgment. And the people will be standing on that day, a day whose, yani miqdaruhu, its length will be 50,000 years. 50,000 years. Yani shiddat al mawqif. This is severe. And this will also, yani remove the sins of the people who committed sins. And the third of those things, shafa'atul shufa'a, those who will be, the intercession of those who will intercede, and at the head of them will be the master of the first of the people and the last of the people, salatu Allah, salawatullah wa salamuha alayhi, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh makes dua, may Allah honor us, all of us, with his intercession, the intercession of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Yani the master of those who would intercede, the master of the first and the last, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the third matter that will take place on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the fourth matter is the pardon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pardon of Allah himself, Allah's pardon and forgiveness and mercy. When the people would intercede, it came in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, بَقِيَتْ شَفَاعَةُ أَرْحَمِ الرَّحِمِينَ, there still remains the intercession of the most merciful of those who are merciful. And the meaning of شَفَاعَةُ أَرْحَمِ الرَّحِمِينَ, the meaning of the intercession of the most merciful of those who are merciful, and this hadith came in Bukhari, the meaning is إِرَادَتُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مِن نَفْسِهِ أَنْ يَرْحَمُهُ وَلَا يُعَذِّبَهُ. Yani the intercession of the most merciful, yani Allah's intercession means what? That it's his irada, his intent within himself, that he will have mercy on this person and that he will not punish this person. And this is after the shafa'at, the other yani intercessions that would take place. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there still remains the intercession of the most merciful of those who are merciful. And he means by that his intention within himself to not punish that person. So this now came 10 or 11 matters. All of them are mumahhisat, those things that purify a person from their sins. لكن الذي ينبغي, but what is incumbent upon the abd indeed is that yani which comes from their own earnings, their own deeds, that which is in their hand. And that is the first three matters that the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah began with, yani that a person be eager and diligent and striving to make sincere repentance, and that a person be striving and diligent in increasing their seeking of forgiveness, and also be diligent in increasing the doing of good deeds, for indeed good deeds remove evil deeds. And this is where we're going to stop. And there's one area remaining. The Shaykh mentions a story that is very beneficial, and I just want to say here that he says أيضاً هنا يعني أروي قصة طريفة مفيدة في هذا الباب الحسن البصري رحمه الله تعالى. And he mentions the story that he attributes to Hassan al-Basri, and as far as I know, this story yani is from the saying of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad. And every place I search for, it's only reference to Fudayl. So probably the Shaykh, when he was given, and when he was talking about this subject, he mentioned Hassan al-Basri, but he meant Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad. I just want to say that, so that yani we don't attribute it to Hassan al-Basri, rather, and Allah knows best, it's really every place that I've found it, innumerable places. I searched and searched and searched, and I couldn't find it except attributed to Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad. And yani the Shaykh talks about it in detail, but we don't have time. It's very lengthy, his discussion concerning it. Maybe next week we might be able to talk about it. But in brief, what he says is that the Fudayl ibn Iyad, he said to a man, "How old are you?" And that man said, "I'm 60 years old." And he said, "Then, yani for 60 years you have been traveling to meet Allah and you're about to meet Him." And some of the narrations said that you are on a road to meet Allah and you are at the end of the road. And some of us can identify with that, because some of us, we are at the end of the road. Naam. Because the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their age is between 60 and 70. So those of us who already passed 60 and going close to 70, and few of us already passed 70. Few. Then we are at the end of the road for sure. There's no doubt about it. May Allah keep us firm upon this path.
Amen.
And die upon Islam and Iman and the Sunnah, in a condition in which we will be pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. He said to that man, "So you are traveling towards Allah and you have just about reached your destination." The man said, when he thought about it, he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." And Fudayl said, "Ya akhi, hal arafta ma'anahu?" Yani, do you know what's the meaning of what you just said? In this narration, he said, yes, he knew the meaning. Other narration said, what does it mean? And Fudayl said, yani, that he explained to him what's the meaning of "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." He said, it means that, yani, "Inna lillahi," that I am a slave that belongs to Allah. "Wa inna ilayhi raji'un," and I'm definitely going to return to Him. So he said to him, if you know that you're going to return to Allah, then you know that you will be standing before Him. And if you know that you will be standing before Him, then you know that you will be questioned by Him. And if you know that you will be questioned by Him, فَلْيُعِدَّ لِلسُّؤَالَ جَوَابًا, then you must prepare the answer. You must prepare an answer for the question. So the man began to cry, and Fudayl, and then he said to Fudayl, "So what, ma al-hila? Ma al-hila? What is the way out? What can I do now?" He said, "Yasira, yani al-hila yasira, yani the solution to your problem is easy." The man said, "What is it?" Yarhamakallah, may Allah have mercy upon you. And he said, yani, in most of the narration said, as we mentioned last week, "Ahsin fi ma baqiya yughfar laka ma qad mada." Yani, do well in that which remains. Yani, you lived 60 years, whatever remains, whether it's 1 or 2 years or 3 years or a month or a few days, do well in what remains, and you will be forgiven what has passed. And in this narration it said, "And تَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِيمَا بَقِيَ," observe taqwa of Allah. The meaning of ahsan, it means اتَّقِ اللَّهَ, and this is the theme of our book, observing taqwa of Allah and what remains, and Allah will forgive you that which has passed and what remains. Yani, if you observe taqwa of Allah, if you practice ihsan and what remains, Allah will forgive you what passed and He will forgive you what remains. And we can stop here, yani, a little bit over time. Wallahu musta'an. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.